The 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "Say this when you pray: Father, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us. And do not put us to the test." He also said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him in the middle of the night to say, 'My friend, lend me 3 loaves, because a friend of mine on his travels has just arrived at my house and I have nothing to offer him.' And the man answers from inside the house, 'Do not bother me. The door is bolted now and my children and I are in bed, and I cannot get up to give it to you.' I tell you, if the man does not get up and give it to him for friendship's sake, persistence will be enough to make him get up and give his friend all he wants. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For the one who asks always receives. The one who searches always finds. The one who knocks will always have the door open to him. What father among you would hand his son a stone when he asks for bread? Or hand him a snake instead of a fish? Or hand him a scorpion if he asks for an egg? If you then, who are evil, know how to give your children what is good, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
In the second year of his public life, Jesus takes his apostles through Herod's gate in Jerusalem to a nearby hill. They climb up among the olive trees, leaving Gethsemane on the right, until they reach the top of the mountain where the leaves of the olive trees are rustling in the wind. Jesus stops and says, "Let us stop here, my dear disciples, who are to continue my work in future. Come near me. Many a time you have said to me, 'Teach us to pray as you pray.' Teach us as John taught his disciples, so that we may pray with the same words as our Master. And I always replied to you, 'I will do that when I see in you the minimum sufficient preparation, so that the prayer may not be a vain formula of human words, but a real conversation with the Father.' That moment has now come. You now possess what is necessary to know the words worth being said to God. And I want to teach you them this evening in peace and in our mutual love, in the peace and love of God and with God, because as true Israelites we have fulfilled the Passover precept and we have complied with God's commandment concerning love for God and our neighbour. When you pray, pray thus: 'Our Father, who are in heaven, may your name be held holy, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are in debt to us. And do not put us to the test, but save us from the evil one." Jesus has stood up to say the prayer, and everybody has imitated him attentively and moved. Nothing else is required, my friends. Everything man needs for his spirit and for his flesh and blood is contained in these words, as in a golden ring. And with this prayer, you ask for what is useful to the former and to the latter. And if you do what you ask for, you will gain eternal life. It is so perfect a prayer that neither the storms of heresies nor the course of ages will undermine it. Christianity will be split by Satan's bite, and many parts of his mystic body will be torn off and separated, forming independent cells in the vain desire to form a body as perfect as the mystical body of Christ, the one formed by all the faithful believers united in the apostolic church, the only true church, as long as the earth exists. But those separated little cells, devoid of the gifts which I will leave to the Mother Church to nourish my children, will always be denominated Christian because of their worship of the Christ. And even in their error, they will always remember that they derive from the Christ. Well, they will pray with this universal prayer as well. Remember it carefully, meditate on it continuously, practice it in your actions. You need nothing else to sanctify yourselves. If one were alone in a heathen place, without churches, without books, one would always have all the knowledge to meditate on in this prayer, and a church in his heart for this prayer. One would have a safe rule of sanctification. Our Father. I call him Father, Father of the Word, Father of the Incarnate. That is how I want you to call him, because you are all one with me, if you remain in me. Once man had to prostrate himself with his face on the ground to whisper, trembling with fear, God. He who does not believe in me and in my word is still in such paralyzing fear. Watch the interior of the temple. Not God, but the very remembrance of God is concealed from the eyes of the faithful by a treble veil. He who prays is separated by remoteness and veils. Everything has been devised to say to him, you are mud, he is light. You are contemptible, he is holy. You are a slave, he is king. But now, stand up, come near me. I am the eternal priest. I can take you by the hand and say, come. I can grasp the veils and draw them, and thus throw open the inaccessible place closed so far. Closed? Why? Closed by sin, yes, but even more closed by the dispirited thought of man. Why closed, if God is love, if God is Father? I can, I must, I want to take you, not into the dust, but into the azure, not far, but near, not as slaves, but as children, unto the heart of God. Say, Father, Father, and never tire repeating this word. Do you not know that every time you say it, heaven shines because of God's joy? If you said with true love no other word but that one, you would be saying a prayer pleasing to the Lord. Father, Father, the little ones say to their fathers. It is the first word they say, Mother, Father, you are the little children of God. May your name be held holy. O name, which is holier and sweeter than any other name, and which the fear of the guilty taught you to conceal under a different one. No, no longer Adonai. He is God. He is the God who, in an excess of love, created mankind. And mankind, from now onwards, with lips cleansed by the purification that I am preparing, should call him by his name, awaiting to full comprehension of the true meaning of the incomprehensible one, where the best children of mankind, united to him, will rise to the kingdom that I have come to establish. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Desire its coming with all your strength. If it came, it would be the joy of the earth. The kingdom of God in hearts, in families, among citizens and nations. Suffer, work, sacrifice yourselves for this kingdom. Let the earth be a mirror reflecting the life of heaven in each individual. It will happen. All this will happen one day. Centuries of tears and blood, of errors, persecutions, of darkness relieved by flashes of light radiating from the mystical light of my church, will precede the moment in which the earth will possess the kingdom of God. Oh, it will most certainly come, and then there will be the perfect, blessed, eternal kingdom of heaven. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The submission of one's will to the will of another person can be accomplished only when one reaches the perfect love for that creature. The submission of one's will to God's can be achieved only when one achieves possession of the theological virtues in an heroic degree. In heaven, where everything is faultless, God's will is done. You, children of heaven, must learn to do what is done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Since you are the children of God, it is only fair to say, Father, give us some bread. Are you afraid he will not hear you? Oh no, just think. If one of you has a friend and, if he finds out that he has no bread to offer another friend or relative who has arrived in the middle of the night, if he goes to his friend saying, Lend me 3 loaves because a guest has arrived and I have nothing to give him to eat, can he possibly hear his friend answer him from inside the house, Do not bother me, I've already bolted the door and my children are already asleep beside me, I can't get up and give you what you want? No. If he had applied to a true friend, and if he insists, he will receive what he asks for. He would receive it also if he applied to someone who was not a very good friend. He would be satisfied because of his insistence, and his friend, of whom he asked the favour, would hasten to give him what he wants so that he may no longer be bothered. But when you pray to the Father, you do not turn to a friend of the earth, but you apply to a perfect friend who is the Father of heaven. That is why I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For the one who asks will receive. The one who searches always finds. The one who knocks will have the door opened to him. What father among you would hand his son a stone when he asked for bread, or hand him a snake instead of a roasted fish? A father who did that to his own children would be a criminal. I have already told you, and I will repeat to convince you to be good and trustful. As a sound-minded person would not give a scorpion instead of an egg, with what greater bounty will God give you what you ask for? Because he is good, whereas you are more or less wicked. Ask therefore the Father for your bread with humble filial love. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are in debt to us. To obey God and to love him are a spiritual debt. He loves us and is to be loved just as a mother, a wife, a son, from whom so much is exacted, are to be loved. A selfish man wants to receive but does not give. But an egoist is poles apart from heaven. We are in debt to everybody, from God to a relative, from a relative to a friend, from a friend to our neighbour, to a servant, to a slave, because they are all beings like ourselves. Woe to him who does not forgive. He will not be forgiven. God, out of justice, cannot remit the debt of a man who is in debt to him, the Most Holy One, if man does not forgive his fellow man. Do not put us to the test, but save us from the evil one. A man asked me less than a year ago, "What, you asked not to be tempted and to be helped against temptation?" I will therefore repeat this part of the prayer once, 10 times, 100 times, until everything is accomplished. But since you are not hardened by strange doctrines or by even stranger passions, I beg you to pray thus. Pray with humility that God may avert temptations from you. O humility, to know oneself for what one is, without losing heart, but to know oneself. Say, "I may give in, even if I do not think I could do it, because I am but an imperfect judge of myself. Therefore, Father, if possible, deliver me from temptations by keeping me so close to you as not to allow the evil one to harm me. Because remember, it is not God who tempts you to evil things, but it is the evil one who tempts you. Pray the Father that he may support your weakness so that it may not be led into temptation by the evil one. I will have other gifts for my future Passovers amongst you, so that when I shall have gone where the Father wants me, you may have a remembrance of me, the Lamb, at every feast of the Mosaic Lamb." Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, "Remain in me, make the Father unable to distinguish between the branch and the vine, since the branch is so united to the vine. Make the Father unable to grasp where I end and you begin, since the likeness is so complete. Those who love end up taking on the inflections, phrases, and gestures of their beloved. I want you to be as many other Jesuses, and this is because I want you to receive what you ask for. When fused to me, you can only ask for good things, and not have to experience rejection. And this is because I want you to receive even more than what you ask for, since the Father pours out his treasures upon the Son in a continuous flow of love. And whoever is in the Son enjoys this infinite outpouring, which is the love of God, which rejoices in his word and circulates in him. Ask and ask and ask for everyone, for the good that God may bless them, for the wicked that God may convert them. Say with me, 'Father, forgive them.' Ask for health, peace in the family, peace in the world, and peace for eternity. Ask for holiness. Yes, this too. God is the Holy One and the Father. Along with the life maintaining you, ask him for holiness through the strength which comes from him." Azaria, Maria's guardian angel, says, "The Most Holy Lord Jesus Christ has taught men to ask for their daily bread. But if one were to properly meditate on it, he placed this request for an entirely human need after the three sublime requests. These three preceding requests are: that the most holy name of God may receive the honours due to it, that his kingdom may come, and that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. The perfect prayer, then, entreats, "Give us this day our daily bread." We see that it immediately rises up again from an animal need for food to the spiritual needs of the soul. And it flies, rendered light, once more by the will to forgive the creature as we forgive those who trespass against us, asking to be forgiven. And it finishes by alighting, after having completed a cycle of perfect prayer, again at the feet of him whom he has called Father, asking him for what a loving father can do to defend his children from temptation. This prayer, without any missing parts or defects, teaches man how, why, and for what he should pray. Blessed are those who are able to pray for the spirit and for spiritual things. More blessed are they who are able to pray not even to ask for holy things, but to say, "You that know what is best for me, give me what's best." And most blessed are those who come forgetting about themselves and asking God to do what is best. They say only, "I pray that what is for your glory and what may serve to sanctify my brothers and sisters may also be accomplished." Then the one at prayer rises to perfect prayer, to that which forgets one's own martyrdoms but entreats for others.